Hebrews chapter 11. A lot of you in here are probably very familiar. Hebrews chapter 11. We begin reading in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, we come before your throne humbly, and all we can ask is that you be with us this morning. All we can ask is that you decide to visit this place, and through your words, I pray that you would be glorified and magnified. And Lord, I pray that we just keep our thoughts on you through the remainder of this service, and that you'd use me to say something on your behalf. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so this morning I'm going to be talking to you about faith. And faith is a word that gets tossed around a lot nowadays. People seem to think of the word faith as something it simply is not. The word faith gets used the same way the word religion is used. People use the word faith to mean some kind of belief system or whatever rules that you follow in your faith. And that being said, is that really what biblical faith is? I mean, if we talk about, as we just read there, it wouldn't really make sense to replace the word faith with religion in that whole passage there. That wouldn't work. And because faith is not religion. You know, I've heard people say something to the effect of, "Wow, that person has a lot of faith." And what they mean by that is not that that person has a lot of Hebrews 11 faith. What they mean by that is they think that that person is living what they think is a good life. That's what they think faith is. It's like, oh, this person is doing good, therefore they have a lot of faith. And although maybe that doing good things is connected to faith, it is not faith itself. Religion is definitely not faith. We look at religion and we look at the things involved in religion and the money and the scheming that gets involved in 90% of the religions around the world. That couldn't be faith. It could not be. They talk about it almost like faith is something that you can do or accomplish, and that many people like evolutionists or atheists don't participate in. They say things like, I've heard atheists specifically say, "I'm not a man of faith. I don't participate in faith." And like they've said something very deep that we should all clap at, I don't participate in faith, whatever that is. And I can understand why they use it this way, because the dictionary definition for faith is very closely aligned with that. The dictionary definition for faith is firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Is that what me and you believe in? Is that the kind of faith that me and you rest on, is something that we have no proof for? This morning, I'm here to tell you that it's not. I'd like to disprove this modern idea of what faith is with one simple verse found in Hebrews that we just read in verse 1. And I'd also like to prove that every single person in this world exercises faith, whether they like it or not. And Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's what faith is. That's what the dictionary should say faith is. But it doesn't, of course, because this world's views are very different than this book's views. And the first thing that I'd like to talk to you about, as I was saying, is the presence of faith. The presence of faith in this world, in men in general. According to the Bible's definition, faith is present in so many things that we don't even think about. If it really is the substance of things hoped for, then we could think of a lot of things that we hope for that have substance, can we not? If it really is the evidence of things not seen, then we can talk about all kinds of things that are not seen but are evident. I think about the wind. You know, you can't see the wind, but it's evident. By what? By its effects on the world. You go outside and you see the trees as they move. Well, those are the effects of the wind. That's not the wind itself. The wind isn't a tree moving. The wind causes the tree to move. That's faith. You have to have some faith to believe that the wind is there. Well, is it something that we have no proof for? Well, no, I could tell you about how the trees are moving. I could tell you a lot of things that the wind affects. I can tell you about how it affects the waves coming across the water on the ocean. We could talk all day about the wind, and yet there's no proof for it, according to the world's definition of what faith is. And so I can think about, for example, we can even just talk about how faith was present when you sat down in your pew this morning. Most of you probably did not look very closely at the pew before you sat down in it. And yet you sat down anyways. You were not studying the legs of the pew, making sure that they could hold you up before you sat down, but you hoped that they would. Did you not? You hoped that those legs would hold you up, and so you sat down. And, you made a decision of trust and belief in the legs of the pew to sit down in it. And these types of decisions are made every day. I mean, this kind of thing, these types of decisions that you don't have full proof of, but you have quite a bit of evidence for, you make those kinds of decisions every day. I would like to even suggest that an evolutionist participates in quite a bit of faith. An evolutionist has never seen a half-man, half-animal kind of being that would persuade him to think that there was some kind of transition from animals to humans. An evolutionist has never seen that before. And yet, he puts his faith in the ridiculous evidence that he finds to be persuasive. I mean, I don't understand it. I guess I think about it the same way he thinks about my Bible. Except, I'm right. you see, the thing is, I personally don't understand how an evolutionist can believe that man slowly transitioned from animals into humans, and yet we still have animals on this earth today. You know, I don't know if you have a different idea of this, but how can you have a transition of something that you don't see the process of? Like, if that was true, if evolution really was something that was plausible for me, then I would have to see some evidence that pointed towards it. I would have to see some kind of, maybe half horse, half man thing walking around. And maybe I would say, wow, there must have been a transition that happened. But no, all I see is a horse and a man next to each other. So to me, that evidence is not persuasive. This morning, I'd like to tell you that I find Jesus Christ to be persuasive. I find his word and his testimony and the people surrounding him to be very persuasive. A lot more persuasive than these things that other people will find and believe. Now, it's a free country. Those people are very much allowed to believe what they want to. You are allowed to be fully persuaded in your own mind to believe in evolution. But that's not what the evidence shows. That's not what the evidence shows. Why do I find Jesus Christ to be persuasive? Because of the overwhelming evidence. Not sight, but evidence. Evidence that points to salvation by faith. Salvation by faith. I brought with me an envelope. Thought it was in my bag here, but it's right here. This is an envelope. And so, let's say in this envelope contains a check. And that check is blank, right? And every single person in here has a debt. And what if I told you, if there was a man that came along, let's say, and he held out this envelope, and he said, inside this envelope contains everything that you would ever need to take care of all of your debts. And he set the envelope on the table, and he walked away. Now, this envelope is sitting on the table. And I can be here, right, as somebody who is deeply in debt. I can be here and I can study the envelope. I can study the person who gave the envelope. I can say that person kind of looked like he might have some money. I can say the person that was holding the envelope, well, he had a crown on. That person who was holding the envelope, as a matter of fact, I think he had about 500 people standing around him saying that he paid their debts. And I can study all of those facts and all of that evidence. I can study this envelope. I can maybe hold it up to the sun and look at it and maybe see that there's something in there, that there's some kind of check in there. But let me tell you this, until I grab the envelope, my debts are not paid for. Until I make a decision, and a decision of faith by the evidence that this envelope has what and contains what I need to pay my debts, then my debts are not paid for. And so what I'm trying to get at, what I'm getting at you to you this morning, I'm trying to anyways, is that faith, okay, you can even believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You can have studied his character. I'm thinking of a person right now who studies the Bible. And they've studied all the characters in the Bible, especially Jesus. His name is Jordan Peterson. Maybe you've heard of him before or referenced him. That man has studied all these characters, but I'm telling you right now, I do not know if that man is saved. That man has spent hours and hours poring over the Bible, but if he is just studying the man but has never put his faith and trust in him, then he's not saved. Now, I'm not trying to complicate salvation for you this morning. Salvation is very, very simple. If you believed on Jesus Christ and you asked him to take your debts away, then they're gone. And you never have to worry about them again. But there is a faith involved. There is a faith present in all kinds of things, especially your salvation. Because salvation is by grace of Jesus Christ through faith, through grabbing the envelope. And that's just one illustration. Again, everybody, you know, they seem to think that faith is not present. And what I'm trying to get at this morning is that faith is present in everything. The evolutionist is putting faith in the books that Darwin wrote. When you turn on your phone, you put faith in the fact that that phone is going to satisfy whatever kind of, you know, you're going to get the thing that you want from that phone. When you get in your car, you place the keys in there and you turn it and you crank it because you think that the car is going to turn on when you crank it. Now, if you didn't think that the car was going to turn on and start, would you even try? Exactly. And so faith is present. It's there. Secondly, I'd like to talk to you about the power of faith. If you turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Real biblical faith is present. It is there. And secondly, it has power. The power of faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 9 says, and when James, that's chapter 2, Galatians 3, 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. So not only is faith the conduit by which you can obtain salvation, but it is also something that you are supposed to continue to live your life by. The Christian life is supposed to be lived by faith because of what it says at the end of verse 11, the just shall live by faith. So Jesus Christ, he made us just, did he not? We were justified by him, so we are supposed to live by faith. And so this thing called faith, you understand that it has the power to sustain you. What I mean by that is if you can live by something, then that means you can live off of it. You can live by this faith. Now, of course, it's not faith in faith itself, but it's connected to somebody much higher. It's connected to Jesus Christ. Most people in the world think that money sustains them. They live their life like money is sustaining them, and they live by their money. They live for it. A lot of them die trying to get it, and many of them die in pursuit of it. People will sacrifice all kinds of things for a buck. Some people will risk their entire lives or a prison sentence to get money so that money can sustain them. They think that money is a solution to their problems. And I'm just using that because of the American life that we live. We can talk about all kinds of things. Food itself, it is sustaining, is it not? It sustains you. Well, if only these people knew who are consumed with the money and the root of all evil, which is money, the love of money anyways, if only they knew a much better solution. One time my family had some kind of bill come in for $11,000. And maybe you've heard before, but my parents are missionaries in Montreal, Canada. I grew up there. And this bill came in. I'm not exactly sure what it was about, but I'm pretty sure it was my dad's citizenship papers or something along those lines. And a bill came in for $11,000. And as missionaries, what we could have done is we could have sent out a prayer letter that said, if only the Lord would put it on someone's heart to help us out with this problem we have here. You know, we have this $11,000 bill that came, and if only God would just get a hold of somebody's heart and get some money over here to help the work of God continue. We could have done that. And that's what a lot of missionaries do. And honestly, we could have had some scripture maybe to back up that decision. We could have gone to the scriptures where it says, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill ye the law of Christ. We could have talked about how, when missionaries are sent out to do work, that they're sustained by some of the other Christians. We could have gone that way. And we have very generous friends, because Bible-believing Christians are the most generous people on the planet. I believe we could have gotten the money that way. But the just shall live by faith. Isn't that right? That's what it says, isn't it? So, my parents, what they decided to do was they wanted to see the Lord do something. They decided that instead of maybe going and living by sight, that they would decide to just leave it to the Lord and see what the Lord does. So we left it. And, as just like He's done in countless other situations with testimony of people, maybe even in this room, that can tell you about the Lord doing something, we got a check in the mail for $11,000 to the cents of what we needed. To the cents. Something like a day before the bill was due. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And I'm not saying that my parents, I'm not talking about how just they are. This is not a brag on my parents. It's a brag on the fact that Jesus Christ and the power of faith can sustain you. It can sustain you. I could tell you story after story. I could tell you about one time some Christians tried to take my family to court, and there was a lot of stuff that went on. I'm not going to go into all the details there, but my dad was helping out a church, and the pastor was actually stealing money from the church. And when my dad, he didn't even try and get, involved in that. He didn't even try and uproot the church members and steal half the church. What ended up happening was the Lord just dealt with him about going and starting a work somewhere else. And his last day at the church, he preached the service in the morning, and he left on good terms. But he got out of the situation. And, they tried to, basically, after it was all said and done, they tried to pin some of the money stealing on my dad. And they tried to make it like he was the one that was orchestrating it. And they tried to take him to court. Now, if you know the scripture on going to court with a brother, you're not supposed to do that, because it's a bad testimony to the people that are running the court. It's a bad testimony to the lost world. And so, once again, faith got involved. And we left it alone. And so, we got slapped with the fine the next week, whatever it was, and we tried to live by faith. My parents did. And I'm not saying that it was easy. That's stressful. Especially my mom is an actuarial mathematician. It stresses her out, things like that. It's not an easy thing to do, to give something to the Lord like that. And so, time after time, it's gotten easier though, because he just, every single time he comes through. Every single time. And so we got to the cents again, the money in the mail. And then they tithed on the money. And there was about something like a $300 or $400 difference on that they tithe. And the next day, the Lord sent in the tithe too. And we got another letter of $300 or $400 or whatever it was, to the cents. So what is that? Why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because this is the power of true faith, of true biblical faith. You can live by it. Not only can you live by it, you can die by it. You can die by this faith. The Bible says that we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. Notice that God places sight and faith opposite from each other because they are opposite from each other. You and me, we have senses. We have things that we see, that we touch, that we feel, that we taste and smell. And when you are living by those senses, you are living something called a carnal life. If all of the decisions that you make are done in your noggin up here, and they're done by your senses, then that is called living a carnal Christian life. And you're not living by faith. You know, one comes, that you know, you've got these two sides of the coin here. And one, the sensual life, comes with a lot of worry. It comes with anxiety and fear. It comes with really not knowing for sure if things are going to work out your way, but you're just doing your best, you know, to make sure that you've done all you can and you're putting money away and you're doing all this and you know, you never give to missions. Maybe you give 10% of your money and you cap it off there and that's it. And by the way, this is not about money. I'm just using that as an illustration because of how much we live by that nowadays. This is a lot more to do with your heart than it is some physical things. But when you live like that, one comes with those things, that fear, not knowing for sure if you did the right thing, and the other one comes with blessing. The other one comes with some peace because you know that the God who owns a cattle on a thousand hills, the God who owns literally everything, who's got a mansion up in heaven, you know, like the song says, I've got a mansion over the hilltop, you can get a down payment on that mansion over here. And Jesus Christ, He has all of those things for you, just waiting for you to give them to Him. Just waiting. We look at the men in Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to go back there in the book of Hebrews. I want you to look at some of these things that were accomplished by the power of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start reading in verse 7. Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know, the rain had never happened before. You know, that storm that took place, that was the first storm ever. And so he didn't see it, but he trusted in the man who made the sky and who made the clouds by faith. By faith, Abraham, in verse 8, he sojourned in a strange country, in verse 9, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Verse 10, he looked for a city who had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Through faith, Sarah, something like 100 years old, had a little baby. By faith. By faith, Joseph was thrown into a pit and thought everything was lost, thought everything was not going well for him, and he ends up the king of Egypt, literally. By faith, Moses was born in verse 23. He was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses was come to years. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. All these things were done by and through faith. I want you to see in verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdue kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. What is going on here? What's going on is the life of faith. You know how exciting this life is of faith? You know the things that you can accomplish and get done for Jesus Christ just by living by faith? That's the power of faith. What an exciting life to live. If you're missing out on some excitement in your life, you should get in on this life of faith. If things are just monotonous and maybe the last 20 years or the last 10 years have passed in the blink of an eye and you can't even remember the stuff that has gone on, I implore you, get in on the life of faith. And one day in eternity, that life of faith that you lived, you'll have something to show for it. One day. And finally, I'd like to talk to you about the purpose of faith. In Matthew chapter 6, if you turn over there, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, 25. Oh, we'll begin in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Finally, the purpose for faith is found in this passage here, and it's for one reason. So your loving Father can take care of you. And there's some other purposes for it, and we can talk about how it's all for his glory, mainly. But in this life of faith here, is a life of care by a loving Father. Now, don't you know that this man who died for you, this man who lived the life that he lived, and then died and was tortured, don't you know that this man wants to take care of you? But how do you think he feels after all he's done for you, only for you to take things into your hands and try and run your life by yourself? He knows what you need. He's standing on the side here knowing exactly what you need. Sometimes he knows what you need more than you know what you need. But you can't know because you're living by your senses. And you won't know. An old man I used to know said this. He said, I am not intelligent enough to run my own life. And this man was very intelligent. If you know anything about him, he was just a smart guy. He had a PhD in all kinds of stuff, and he was very, very well-versed in a lot of things. And he said, I am not intelligent enough to run my own life. And that's got to be one of the smartest conclusions that man has ever come to. Smarter than I think, therefore I am. Smarter than everything's relative, like Einstein used to say. Smarter than all that is, I am not intelligent enough to run my own life. This morning, I'm here to tell you that you aren't either. As a matter of fact, no one is. So let Jesus Christ run your life. Let him run it by faith. By faith. By faith, continue to fight in the battles that he has placed you in. Maybe you're not in a battle. Maybe you need to find one and get in it. This life, this Christian life is supposed to be a battle. You're supposed to be a soldier. You know, I told you some of those stories earlier. I told you some of those stories about some of the money that we got in from missions. And have you ever thought about the other side of those stories? Maybe, you know, you've heard stories like that before. Maybe you've had other missionaries talk about it. And you can find stories about that have a lot bigger amounts of money. You can talk about Robert Moffat, who prayed in something like $1 million for his orphanage in South Africa. You can talk about all those things. But have you ever thought about the other side of those stories? I wonder who the person was who took $300 and put it in an envelope and sent it to my parents. Because they were living a life of faith. Because they weren't living by their senses. One morning, somebody, I don't know who it was, somebody woke up and said, I'm going to put this $300 in an envelope, and me and my siblings had food because of that. We never struggled. We had a perfect life. Never had to worry about anything. Me and my sisters grew up, had a great childhood because somebody else was living by faith. And so, do you want to get in on something like that? Why don't you get some stories of your own to talk about and go into how God took care of you by faith? You can have those. You can have those. In conclusion, I'd just like to say and ask you, what are you placing your faith in? What do you spend your time and your efforts? What do you spend that on? What are you putting your trust in? Are you trusting your money? That's boring. It's a boring life. You're putting your faith in your own brain power, your own intelligence to run your life? You're putting your faith in your budgeting techniques? You know, God's standing on the other side of that, waiting to do some amazing things in your life. But He can't because you are in the way. You're in the way, and those idols in your life that you're placing your faith in, they're taking His spot. They're taking His place. So when are you going to give up and give it to Him? When are you going to get involved in this life of faith? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, I thank You for all You've done for us. I thank You for this life and the great things that You've done for us and can do for us if we would just have some more trust in You. Lord, You clothe the lilies of the field. You've got the grass